Watertown second at 146.2. Yankton third at 137.6. Sioux Falls Lincoln fourth at 133.9. Huron fifth at 132.25. For Huron, Eric Azell was fourth on the all-around, second on the beam, sixth on the floor, tied for second on the vault. Sarah Christensen was sixth on the beam. Moving to basketball, the 281 Conference Girls Basketball Tournament had their first round games yesterday, so four games to report. Sanborn Central Woonsocket with the top seed defeated Iroquois 57-13. Blackhawks led by Megan Poyer with 20 points. Second game, number 4, Woolsey Wessington defeated number 5, James Valley Christian, 46-41. For Woolsey Wessington, Courtney Sprecher had 16 points, Bryn Hyder had 11. James Valley Christian led by Carolyn Weeding, 18 points, Brenna Held added 14. Number 2, Highmore Herald got a push from number 7 seed Wessington Springs. Highmore Herald did come out with the 56-54 win. For Wessington Springs, Gracie Grand, 24 points, 10 rebounds. Chloe Munson added 10 points for the Spartans. Highmore Herald led by Oakley Jandro with 22 points. Grace Knox added 12 points. In the final game last night, Hitchcock Tuler with the 3 seed cruise past number 6 Sunshine Bible, 60-32. For Hitchcock Tuler, Elizabeth Salmon, 15 points. Dawson Otto, Danan Peterson, each added 12, and Ashley Massett had 10 points. For Sunshine Bible, Lindsay Wilkins scored 13. So the four higher seeds all did pick up wins. The lineup for Monday at the arena in the consolation games, Iroquois will play James Valley Christian. Wessington Springs will play Sunshine Bible. And then the semifinals, Sanborn Central Woonsocket, Woolsey Wessington, and Highmore Herald and Hitchcock Tulare. Couple of AA basketball scores from last night. Girls, Brandon Valley defeated Watertown 50-35. Yankton top Sioux Falls Roosevelt 43-38. In boys basketball last night, again AA, Brandon Valley 52, Watertown 36, Pier edged Mitchell 52-50. Hockey yesterday, both the boys and girls from Huron were on the road. The Huron boys at Aberdeen, and they picked up a 7-1 road win. 7 goals, and a different player scored all 7 goals. That's spreading it around. Jacob Weed stopped 27 of 28 shots in goal for Huron. In the girls' game, Brookings cruised to a 10-3 win over Huron. Ashley Bush had 2 goals for Huron. College basketball last night, women's scores from the Northern Sun. Augustana defeated Upper Iowa 79-45. Sioux Falls defeated Mankato 81-71. Northern edged Crookston 60-59. Men's score, Augustana defeated Upper Iowa 94-88. Northern slipped past Crookston 72-70. Former Huron Tiger Justin Decker, 14 points for Northern. And the University of Sioux Falls defeated Mankato 74-46. That's the rundown of our scores from last night. Look at the schedule for today. Huron Tiger basketball back on the court. Huron will be at Sioux Falls O'Gorman tonight. They're shooting for a 5 o'clock tip-off for the girls' game. That might be a little ambitious, but that's what they're going to look to do. Girls followed by the boys, both games on the air on 1340, KIJV and Tiger 95. In hockey, the Huron boys will travel to Yankton today. 2A1 Conference Boys Basketball Tournament will have their first round starting at 1 o'clock this afternoon. All 4 games on the air here on KOKK. Highmore Herald with the top seed will play number 8 seed Hitchcock Tulare at 1 o'clock this afternoon in Woolsey. That'll be followed by number 4 seed James Valley Christian and number 5 Wessington Springs. Number 2 seed Woolsey Wessington will play number 7 seed Sunshine Bible, and the final first round game is number 3 seed defending champion Sanborn Central Woonsocket playing number 6 seed Iroquois. So again, all 4 of those games on the air here on KOKK. One last note we would like to pass along, a reminder for Huron Tiger wrestling fans. Ticket orders for the state wrestling tournament are on sale now through next Friday at the activities office at the arena. The tickets will be sold Monday through Friday, 7:30 to noon and 1 till 4:30. Adult all-session tickets are $45. Student general admission tickets are $25. Only all-session tickets and student general admission tickets will be sold in advance, and there will be no refunds. The combined state wrestling tournaments will be February 22nd and 23rd in Rapid City. Dakota Sports Saturday comes your way this morning beginning at 8:15. We'll talk here on Tiger Basketball with head coaches John Scouten and Tim Budenhagen. We'll recap here on Tiger Wrestling last night with head coach Dan McCarty. And we'll also preview the 281 Conference Boys Basketball Tournament with James Valley Christian head coach Darwin Hofer. That'll be Dakota Sports Saturday coming up at about 8:15 this morning. With the Saturday morning scoreboard, I'm Jeff Duffy on Dakota Sports KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
You've got Dakota Sports.
Morning, everyone. Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday. We'll kick the show off this morning with John Scouten, head boys basketball coach of the Huron Tigers. Tigers lost to Yankton on Tuesday. Now get set for another rough road trip, tough road trip as they go to Sioux Falls O'Gorman today. And, John, let's go back. Won a couple of games there. I guess we talked about Brookings last Saturday. Just kind of wore down Mitchell. Mitchell got off to a quick start, but we kind of took control in the second quarter and went on to the win.
Yeah, over Christmas break, we really had a chance to kind of just reevaluate and get ourselves in the direction we wanted to go again. Came out with Brookings and Mitchell, and I thought we gave great effort, considering we had kids who were sick and hurt and all that kind of thing. Guys stepped up and took advantage of their opportunities. And then Tuesday night went to Yankton, and obviously they showed us why they're one of the best teams in the state, with one of the best players in the state. And, I thought, as a coach, you can always find things that you consider, things you did wrong or you can be disappointed with. But overall, we played them to a six-point game, down 14 in the third quarter, battled back, had the ball down two and a half minutes to go, and they made more plays on the stretch than we did. And you got to give our kids credit. They fought, they battled, they scratched the claw, they got back in it, and we just didn't have enough to get over the hump.
And Yankton, really it wasn't the finish, it was the start. You just felt it came out a little flat there to begin the game, and you thought that kind of went into Matthew Moore's game. He set a Yankton school record with 45 points against us, and obviously we haven't given up that many points against an opposing player in a long time, but you felt it wasn't so much what he was doing as the end. It was just we made it so easy for him at the beginning. He was just getting wide open shots, and well, that, after that, he just had a groove that he never left.
Right. And exactly. To me, a player of his caliber, it's got to be hard early. Maybe he starts forcing shots. Maybe it takes him out of his rhythm a little bit. But for me, our kids came out, and I felt like, even the ones that we kind of were contesting on, he caught it, he dribbled between his legs, kind of danced a little bit, and then he'd go and shoot it. Had a couple dunks in the first half, hit a little post move, spun off us. Our double team wasn't there. I felt like we were just bystanders there early, and we were just kind of running around, and you can't do that to a great player like that because he got hot early, and that rhythm continued, and he was feeling it. And then the shots we did contest in the second half and did a better job making them tougher shots, but he's 6'7" and has good high release and made tough baskets. So hopefully we learn from that. Hopefully we can understand what it means to make things tough on the opponent early, and then continue that throughout the game.
You know, but then on the other hand, it kind of going under the radar then was Tegan Evers had a career high 31 points for himself. And I know we talked about it some there after the game on a Tuesday where Tegan has developed himself into a more complete player. Last year, for the most part, he was pretty content just to sit back there at the 3-point arc and let it fly. Now he's becoming much more of a slasher, using that 6'5 body to, get in the lane and make an impact.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and some of that is development. You know, he got a little taller, got a little stronger. He's trusting the work that he's put in over the summer and the offseason. You know, he's doing a good job of understanding his matchup, who's on him. How can I beat him? You know, is it going to be driving to the basket? Is it going to be, you know, slashing, curling off the screen? Whatever the case is, he's been playing big for us, and we're going to need him to continue that.
You know, and Kobe Bush played probably more minutes than what I think you were expecting to play him going into the game, coming off that ankle injury, and obviously it was affecting him. But as much as anything, I suppose just his rhythm had been off a bit because he'd only practiced once since the injury. But you know, gave me a gutty effort. He wanted to be out there.
Absolutely, and you can't say enough about Kobe. You know, the kid's a tough competitor. He's hard nosed. He wants to be out there helping his teammates any way he can. And if you ask Kobe, I'm sure he'd tell you he's a little disappointed in terms of his ability to shoot the basketball that night, you know, miss some shots. But again, he had one competitive practice Monday, and then we threw him in the fire, played a ton of minutes, was getting used to that. And he's not going to use that as an excuse. He's his own worst critic. And so over the last few days in practice, you know, it's been really nice to see him, getting some extra shots in, trying to get back in that rhythm that he had before his injury.
Well, again, overall, you take basically the last 24 minutes maybe of that game. You just had to like the effort. I know Tanner Evers, Cooper Freiberger scrapped as much as they could there against Moores. The one play that I just go back to time and again, it was right underneath me late in the game. It was about an 18-foot jump shot by Moores that he made, and I swear Tanner Evers was inside his jersey, and Moores still made the shot.
Yeah, absolutely. You know it. Tanner, he's not going to back down. He's got this quiet confidence about himself that he's going to go out and compete as hard as he can. That play, you know, he and Kobe were there, and Moore made a tough shot over. I mean, those are the ones you got to tip your hat because that's just a good offensive player making a play. I'm very proud of how those kids competed.
Well, thankfully, the schedule breaks for us tonight. Just get to go down to O'Gorman. That's not a snake pig or anything to play down there. O'Gorman 4-4, and that may be the most deceiving 4-4 record in the state.
Yeah, definitely. You know, 4-4, they weren't planning on playing that Finley Prep game over the break, but due to the weather, you know, got thrown out there with Finley Prep, one of the top teams in the country, and played into a 15, 17-point game, something like that. I mean, they had struggles early, and you can just like every team in the state, you're figuring out what you got. But they got it rolling now. You know, they played 10, 11 kids. They're really, really deep. They're big. They're physical. They've got two Division I athletes playing football next year. They're out there playing basketball. They're going to be tough. They're going to be hard nosed. They're going to be athletic. They're going to shoot it well. I mean, they're a big kid in the middle. They call him the house, and that's actually how they call it. That's a nickname they have for him on the radio. He is a big, big dude. We're going to have to bring the fight tonight, and if we don't, it's going to be ugly early.
You know, and not only that, too, our experiences in the past at O'Gorman, that is a snake pit, and really one of the big things is the kids got to just keep their focus on the game because there's going to be other stuff going on if they let their minds wander a bit.
Absolutely, you know, and that's part of it. Now anymore, you know, the game is so much more than just showing up, rolling the ball, and going. I mean, these kids got to be mentally ready, mentally focused, mentally locked in because there's going to be fans in the stands saying things about them that they don't want to hear, calling them names, making fun of their hair, all that kind of thing. And so our guys got to be mentally tough enough to block that stuff out and understand that we're competing with the guys on the floor, and that's it. We're not competing with anybody else, and so we got to make sure we're ready to go.
And one other thing, too, this is going back to O'Gorman. You know, we have not played the Sioux Falls schools since the 2012-2013 season, but with the Sodak 16, the concerted effort. You want to play every double-A team, and I think we are, with the exception of Douglas.
Yep.
Bottom line is, you know, it's good for the program, good overall, especially this team. This is a test that makes you better down the road.
Yeah, you'd like to think that. And we're going to go in, and we're going to give everything we have, and we're going to be focused. We're going to walk in with a confidence about ourselves that we belong there. And I think that's half the battle, is this confidence that you come in with. If you don't think you can hang, or you're more worried about the other team or the best player or whatever, you're going to fall into a trap, and it's going to be an uphill battle. If you walk in there knowing that we're a good team, that we got something to prove, play with that chip on your shoulder, then we're going to be in it.
John Scouten, head coach here on Tiger boys basketball. Again, doubleheader with O'Gorman tonight. They're hoping to get the girls game going at 5 o'clock. I think that's a little ambitious schedule, but that's what they're shooting for, and we'll have both games on the air, of course, over on Tiger 95. More to come here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, an overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Sunday, it's the divisional round of the NFL playoffs as we bring you a special doubleheader. Hi, this is Scott Graham. Join me and the rest of our Westwood One crew for all the action. First, Tom Brady and the Patriots host Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. Then, the defending Super Bowl champion Eagles try to knock off Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. The NFL playoffs are right here.
12 noon kickoff Sunday afternoon on Dakota Sports KOKK.
You're tuned to Dakota Sports on KOKK.
And we're back here, continuing Dakota Sports Saturday. Talk here on Tiger Girls Basketball. Head coach Tim Buttonhagen as they get set to travel to top-ranked O'Gorman tonight. Huron, though, did notch their second win of the season this past Tuesday, a triple overtime win down in Yankton. And, Coach, I know we've talked about that in the past. You yourself have never done we can think of maybe two triple overtime games or more than that you've coached. They don't come around along and often, and when you win it, boy, you know, that's something the kids will remember, and give our girls credit. They just stuck with it, even though Yankton just kind of kept firing bullets and staying in it.
Yeah, especially when you've had control of the game for majority of it, and that hasn't happened to us much this year. So, you know, we had that 8-10 point lead. All of a sudden, Ruben gets hot, and she hits a couple threes. They get a steal, they get a layup, and all of a sudden they're right back in the game. We just couldn't fend them off. I thought we got a little tight down the stretch. Called a couple timeouts, and you could see the glassy-eyed, look, not the look of determination. I think we were kind of playing not to lose rather than go attack them and get the win. Like we talked to the girls, you know, they had 10 team fouls. Anytime they touch you, we're going to the free throw line, so we got to be in attack mode. I thought we kind of were tentative down the stretch. But give our girls credit, we made one more play than Yankton and pulled out the victory.
Yeah, and you look at those overtime periods, you know, we came out strong each overtime period, but again, just always kind of let the door open, missed a couple of free throws, which is something, you know, this team is generally a pretty good free throw shooting team, but always just seemed to let the door open there till right at the end.
Right, and you're exactly right, and, and the miscommunication on defense, we tried to box and one, that really didn't work well. We tried a 2-3 zone. We had half playing man, half playing zone. I mean, our communication's got to get a lot better. Good teams communicate. That's why I think the boys are such a good team, because they communicate with each other. Not only on offense, but also on defense. Or not only on defense, but also on offense. Both Communication is important on both ends, and we just lack that a lot. So there was some miscommunication. Thankfully, Sammy Schultz found her left hand. She made some terrific left-hand hook shots to get us a lead in the third overtime. Fortunately, like I said, we made one more play on defense than they did, and we're fortunate we could run out the clock.
We had Sammy Schultz, Haven Hines, Tinley Budnagin all ended up in double figures, and each had their own little different spots there where, you know, they kind of held us together offensively.
Yeah, they did. You know, and we need that. We need all three of them. If we can get doubles out of those three, that's 30. And then we just got to find, you know, points someplace else. Usually it comes off, you know, Bella comes in and she can get us 7 to 8. Kylie can get us 6 to 7. So we just got to find that combination where we can get those three in doubles, and then we get different combination giving us 15 to 20 points, and then hopefully we get to that 50 mark.
You know, and then you had other, you know, little contributions almost get lost in the shuffle. Kylie Overbay hit a huge three when we needed it. Chelsea Hofer took a big charge when we needed it. In fact, Chelsea Hofer had an outstanding game defensively. The Holstein girl, I know you were very impressed with her going into the game, and I think she did score 12, but it also took three overtimes to get into double figures, and a lot of that was Chelsea on that low post, undersized, but she just uses her strength to her advantage.
Yeah, there's really two girls that really concerned us inside, you know, Hulk inside on the inside and Ruben on the outside. Majority of teams, you take a look at it, 80% of the points are scored by two people. So we got to try to keep those two people down. I thought Hof came in, did a really nice job of banging her a little bit, keeping her off the boards. And then we put Haven just on Ruben at the end just so that we knew who had her, not so that we're switching all the time and that they're always saying, no, she had her, no, she had her. Well, this time we know who had her. We knew who was in coverage. So we just got continuing to get better. We got to stop messing around with, you know, zone and box and one and stuff like that. Just play good man-to-man. Change your principles. Tonight we're going to change our principles a little bit, but just stick with one thing, because if we do that, we can hang our hat on something. And you always hear defense travels. We got to bring the defense.
You know, Chelsea Over, one other kind of good story there was right at the end of the game. The buzzer went out. She got knocked in the head or something there, and she was over telling you, don't take me out, don't take me out, not realizing the game was actually finally over.
Yeah, she thought we were going to the fourth overtime. Thank God we weren't, because I couldn't have made that one either. I wanted to be done after the second overtime. But, yeah, she did. She got knocked out and just came back to the huddle and said, Coach, don't take me out while it's over, Chelsea. Just shake hands and let's go.
And then one girl, and we didn't even bring her up in the post game, and I was thinking about this on the way home that we really should have, was Lexi Gilbert. Just a few minutes, but she came in at key moments, and at the end of that third overtime, she got a hold of the ball, and all she was interested in was getting it down the floor and keeping the clock running. And, you know, she's out there for defense, and she made a great play there to end the game.
Yep, girls have got to find their niche, and they got to find their role. Once they've found their role and their little niche, then they got to do it really well. You said it right. Lexi is a good defender. She's a great on-ball defender. And at that time, we need to keep number 10 out of the lane. She took her. She pushed her to her left-hand side, making sure that she couldn't penetrate to the rim. Wolf Graham loves to get to the basket with her right hand, not so much with her left. So Lexi kept her on one side of the floor. We're fortunate enough that they passed it to the left side, took a shot, and she got the rebound, ran out the clock. We got a lot of, you know, Libby and Brooks, which, you know, rotate each game, and they play their roles well. They're banging the inside, and we've been going with that dual combo just so each one of them gets some playing time on the JV and the varsity, because they're going to be important pieces down the stretch. You know, Melissa Berg comes in and she's all high, she's high intensity. She gets after it. She's a good athlete. She leaps. Everybody's got a little role that they can play, but they got to do it to the best of their ability. And by the second half, we just go with the girls that are hot at that time.
Well, thankfully, the schedule does give us a break with going to O'Gorman tonight. They're top-ranked. Ron 6 going Division 1. Is it volleyball or basketball? I'm not sure which.
Basketball.
They got a 6'2 girl. They got a Baruth with Alpena roots playing. That's about 6 foot. You know, they're number one for a reason. They have the whole package right now.
They got about 10 girls that can flat out play. I mean, There's another Onzik that's a freshman. They have another freshman that's very athletic. Keith Moore's daughter plays. She's only a sophomore, but they're athletic, and they get up and down the floor. Ronzik makes them go. I mean, she had 15 the other night. I think she had 4 threes. 6'1 point guard. Can't front in the post because they got 6'2, and Ronzik can see her at the top of you, so they can lob. So we got to do different things, try to disguise our coverages a little bit. But we're going to try to take away the inside. 23 Okoye, I think it is. We got to try to take away her. We got to try to take away Ronzik. So we're all going to play 1 foot in the paint, and we're going to double the post. We're going to let the other girls shoot, and that's our best way that we can win. And if we challenge them and make them shoot the long shot, then it's a long rebound, and hopefully we can get to the ball quicker. If they shove it inside, it's a short rebound. We can't deal with that because of their size. So we have got to make sure that it's a long shot, long rebound, get to the board quick, attack the ball, get down to the other end, and hopefully shoot layups or at least some open jumpers.
And realistically, bottom line for me is don't let the bright lights get in your head. Come out with intensity and don't back down.
Yeah, don't look at the other team warming up. You know, just focus in on ourselves. What can we do? What can we do well? We put in new zone offense because we thought they were going zone. All the things that we saw on tape or film, they went zone. And Thursday night when they played Washington, they played man. So we don't know what we're going to get tonight, but we got a new zone offense in, and we're going to run it against man just in case so that we can work on that. We just need to work on ourselves. By the end of February, we want to be able to compete with one of these teams, like a O'Gorman, like a Brandon Valley, like a Harrisburg, like a Brookings. So we just got to get better, and tonight's a chance for us to get better.
Tim Budnick and head coach here on Tiger Girls Basketball. Tigers down to O'Gorman. Doubleheader again. Again, they wanted a 5 o'clock tip-off. We'll see if that actually happens for the girls, but we'll have both games on the air here over on Tiger 95. More to come here on Tiger Wrestling. James Valley Christian Boys Basketball coming up here on Dakota Sports.
Just imagine the body weight you always wanted, better health, being stronger, having more energy, and overall feeling of well-being. The first step is the Nordby Center for Recreation. Tour the facility, pick up a schedule of activities, and find out information on the membership that best fits your needs. Wellness, health, weight control, strength, and boosted metabolism. They can all be achieved at the Nordby Center. Join one of Huron's best-kept secrets, the Nordby Center for Recreation in Huron.
Dakota Sports on KOKK is your number one home of high school sports.
Listen for continuing coverage of the 281 Conference Girls and Boys Basketball Tournaments on Dakota Sports KOKK and Tiger 95. 24 games in 7 days. Champions will be crowned on Thursday night. The 281 Conference Tournament on Dakota Sports KOKK and Tiger 95.
Dakota Sports.
Back here on Dakota Sports Saturday, we'll highlight here on Tiger Wrestling. Tigers were in Brookings last night for an ESD duel. Huron had 5 forfeits. Brookings had 5 open weights, but yet in the matches that were wrestled, Brookings was able to gather enough bonus points that they were tied at the end of the duel, 39-39. They went to criteria. And on the 7th tiebreaker, Brookings was officially awarded the dual win by a score of 40-39. Head coach Dan McCarty talked about the match afterward last night and obviously was disappointed in the performance of his kids.
Enough. It was. I know that the first two is going to be difficult with Will and Cole. They're both moving up a way. They've got some very good kids. They both gave us the best shot. Chipper did what he needed to do. And then we got into it with Tajay and with Matt. I don't think we didn't perform. It was Tajay's first match back, and it showed. And you know, these guys have been wrestling for half a season, and it showed. And then with Matt moving up a weight, and he just wasn't the same, unfortunately. And then Gabe, he was close to giving up just a technical foul, but unfortunately, Sean's a very good wrestler, and he wanted to get that pin. And then we finish up with Devin and Parker and Sebastian. Parker, I thought, wrestled a fantastic match. It just wasn't quite enough for him. And then Sebastian, he's still learning.
You know, and the thing with Brookings, you know, they had, what, five open weights, whatever it was, but they're still ranked eighth in the team standings right now, and that's because where they do wrestle, they put quality guys out there.
Yes, they do. They're very good wrestlers that go out there. We knew that going in. It was they had some very good kids watching some results, and they've had quite a few matches that are like this where it comes down to the very end, and, you know, sometimes they win it with a close one like this, and sometimes they've lost a couple of close ones like this also, but yeah, they do have a very good team.
Now, Chipper Schillingstad, I guess he did go into the second period before he got the pin, but the bottom line, he saw his job. He owned that kid was no pushover. That kid was ranked eighth, and the Bowes kid, and Chipper took care of his business.
Yeah, he did. And Chipper's a very good wrestler. He's you know, he's been around for a long time. He knows what's going on, and you know, he's getting past that seventh or eighth grade stuff where he's got to pin you right away, and he's getting to the point where, you know, he makes it last. Finds his opportunity and then goes for it, and, you know, he did it again.
Now, let's look ahead here. First off, a busy weekend for Huron Wrestling. It was our annual middle school invitational. Sunday is the AAU invite, and I would imagine all the varsity kids are helping out, and a lot of them be officiating and doing other things like that.
Yes, we will. Our varsity will be at the middle school, or the high school, or the arena, reffing the middle school tournament. We'll be reffing them, we'll be scoring them, and we'll be the timekeepers for it. And if anybody wants to come in and help, probably more than welcome to, because we're always looking for more help for that tournament. It's not that difficult. We have our wrestlers do the reffing. If you want to come and help score, go right ahead. And then we have a AAU dual tournament that Erica or the youth wrestling has put together. There's, I think, four or five teams coming in for that. And then on Sunday is a AAU youth tournament, and that has usually 200 to 300 kids coming for that. And it's a good weekend of wrestling in here.
And I always ask you this every year before you go into this, which kids on the varsity make the best refs?
That's you know what? It's a pretty good group here. They're, you know, they've been doing it for quite a few years, so they've got some good ones. It was, a few years ago, it was pretty easy to tell, but this one probably, you know, like Gabe Rager's pretty good ref, and Dan Huber's pretty good ref. So.
Dan McCarty, head coach here on Tiger Wrestling. Again, Tigers fall 40-39 to Brookings last night. ESD Duel. Now they prepare for a busy weekend at the arena, wrestling at the arena both today for the middle school invitational, and then also some AAU duels later today, then tomorrow the AAU tournament. So again, we're going to be very busy out there at the arena. Time out. More coming up here. Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
With nearly 130 stores in 12 states, Slumberland has the buying power to bring you the best values from the nation's top furniture brands. Slumberland is America's number one dealer for Lazy Boy furniture. Slumberland is also the Midwest's largest retailer for Sealy, Simmons, Stearns & Foster, and Tempur-Pedic mattresses. Slumberland of Huron is completely locally owned and operated. Our staff, including sales and delivery, is made up entirely of your neighbors in Huron. So for the best brands at the best prices, along with truly local service, turn to Slumberland Furniture of Huron.
Dakota Sports is committed to excellence in sports broadcasting.
And we're back here, Dakota Sports Saturday, talking to Darwin Hofer, head boys basketball coach for James Valley Christian. The Vikings getting set for the first round of the 281 Conference Tournament today. Number 4 seed, they'll play number 5, Wessington Springs, in the second game of the day. James Valley Christian is 3-4 in the season, coming off a nice 2-point win at Sanborn Central Woonsocket on Tuesday. And Darwin, just go back to that game, pretty tight ball game, and nice to see your kids come out with the win.
Yeah, especially on the road down at Sanborn, you know, that's always a tough game for us, at least it has been over the years. And for us to be able to walk away down there with a win with a couple outstanding players and a very good team that they have, that was a good feather in our cap.
Well, 3-4 on the season, just kind of go over that. I know you've played a couple of close games, in particular the multiple overtime game against Leola Frederick at the arena back there during the Christmas break. You are a senior-dominated team this year. I believe I counted 6, so just talk a little what you've seen here in the first part of the season.
Yeah, the Leola Frederick game over Christmas break at the Huron Classic was kind of interesting going playing them with only having one full practice and then an hour shoot around the day of the game, and then going into triple overtime. We spent a lot of energy on the court that day, and coming away with a loss that day kind of took the wind out of our sail, and you could see that it affected our boys even into the following games. And like I say, it's nice to get back on a winning track this past Thursday against Sanborn. But yeah, senior led, 6 seniors. We start 5 of them. We could potentially start, you know, any of the six. You know, this team has a lot of experience. The one thing I like about these boys are, there are times that, I only have to say things one time and they get it done. There are times that, they get things done out on the court. Things I've said the day before, I noticed that they take the initiative and take care of it without me reminding them the day of the game.
We'll talk about a few of those, kids. He actually, unlike, what you've had in the past, you do have a little bit of size this year at least.
Well, yeah, Derek Thompson leads us in size, a 6'5 post player, part-time starter last year. He's our inside presence. You know, he's our defender, our shot blocker. When the guys penetrate to the hole, they can find him. And Derek can turn and score in the post as well. But, you know, our seniors, Josh Weeding is our leading senior right now. Josh has put in a lot of off-season hours, a lot of time in the gym, and it's showing. His fruit is producing, and he's able to score both offensively and defensively. He's our spark plug. And then we've got Braden Held is another senior guard for us. And, you know, Braden, he plays everything for us. He'll actually play the point. He'll play wing. He plays post for us at 6 foot. If he had about 4 more inches, he would be very, very unstoppable in the post. But he does what he can, and I'm very proud of him for stepping up his senior year. Darian Hood is a 3-year starter for us, and Darian's been able to do just about everything, defense, scoring, shooting threes, playing the point, running the floor. Colton Schweigert's really stepped up big this year in the other starting position, and Colton's three-point shooting has really improved. About the first 3 or 4 games, I think he averaged about 3 threes a game, and so the other night against Sanborn, I know he didn't have any threes, but his main focus was defense, and so sometimes when you play awfully hard defense, it hurts your offense, but he sacrificed his offense that night for the win.
And one thing that kind of sticks out to me, I saw a couple of names there that I recognized from the state championship cross country team. I assume you feel you can run with anybody.
Well, run with them, yeah, I agree, and that's
or
what
outrun
we have,
them.
And that's what we try to do. You know, you got to play to your strengths. Some years, you know, you have big teams and you work the ball inside. Some years, you have fast teams. And, you know, right now, that's our strength with these guys.
To me, you're a team that shouldn't get tired.
The triple overtime game showed a little bit of fatigue. But you're right, and that really showed the other night. Our defense, the way we played against Sanborn, that was our best defensive output of the year. And that's what we need to do each and every night. And I hope our guys remember that feeling and they can continue to do that.
We'll talk about some of the other kids that you put on the floor as well. Are you developing some of those younger kids as well? Obviously, there's down the road as well.
Yeah, there's one more senior, Carter Wells, and he's our 3-point specialist. And Carter steps in and can fill that need at the guard spot. And then we've got a couple juniors that have seen quite a bit of playing time for us. Zach Kleinsasser, 6'1", junior, and Zach plays the guard for us. He's a penetrator. He can shoot threes. And then there's Zach Hofer as well, and Zach comes in and plays that guard spot and a tough-nosed defender and can also attack the rim and shoot threes. And so those guys are going to be our leaders down the road, but right now they're learning the ropes of the varsity game, and this is a good experience for them.
Now, 281 tournament, I know that's always every team in the 281 looks to this. They want to have a good week, a good 3 days in that tournament. You get the number 4 seed. You get number 5, Wessington Springs. You haven't played them yet. Talk a little about that matchup, which will be the second game this afternoon.
Well, Wessington Springs is a scary team. They're much improved from the past couple years. But they do a little bit of everything. They'll shoot threes. They work the middle of the court. They will also work the post. They've got a 6'3 freshman post player. I can't think of his name off the bench. He's a lefty. He's smooth. He really is. And he's gonna cause some problems for us. You know, you take a look. They can run the ball. They play decent defense. And so they do just about everything. They do everything well. And they've been in some close ball games with some opponents that maybe we didn't think that they could have been in. So we're going to have our hands full today, and we definitely need to walk away with a win.
You know, and you look at that 281, and Highmore Herald does have the top seed, and, well, they got a couple of kids that have been playing for what seems like forever, too, but realistically, you know, you look last year, Sanborn Central, Woonsocket, you kind of figured they were the team to beat, Woolsey Wessington the year before, but it looks a little more wide open this year.
Yeah, it does, and, you know, anybody can beat anybody on any given night, and I know that, you know, Highmore beat Woolsey by right around that 20-point margin, and you know, we beat Sanborn Central last night, or on Thursday night, and, You know, we lost to Woolsey. We led through the first quarter and midway through the second quarter. And so, you know, teams have to be able to put together a full game, and anybody can just about beat anybody this year.
And like I said there at the beginning, 281, this is something that I'm sure all your boys, especially with a senior-dominated team like you have, this week and then once we get to the districts or regions, whatever you want to call it now, those are probably the two flashpoints for that senior group of yours.
And that's one thing. When you have seniors, they know this is their last season. When you have especially a senior-led team, they leave everything out on the court, and they want to walk away with the highest seed they can possibly do here in the conference tournament, and they know it's their last time, and they definitely are going to leave everything out on the court.
Well, we're going to switch gears here a little bit. You're going to put your AD hat on now. We discussed this a little before we went on, but I hadn't really said a whole lot about this. It was brought to my attention last summer by Mr. Krogstrand there at the Activities Association that James Valley Christian was actually looking at the possibility of the addition of six-man football. Obviously, everything's tabled for everybody now just because they've decided to push it back for 2 years as the interest wasn't as high as you thought. And your school board, everybody did their due diligence here, and I guess the best thing to say is everything's on hold and it's still boys soccer for now.
Yeah, it is, and we're pleased to continue with boys soccer. And, you know, when this came up out in Pier about 2 years ago, it first came up, and then last year's a little more talk, and, well, I'm sorry, 2 years ago was a little more talk, and then, you know, last March out in Deadwood at the AD meetings, you know, it definitely got voted in for a potential there, and then obviously the High School Activity Association did vote it in, and for the potential there to see if there was enough interest. And, you know, it's one of those things that if you convert over to six-man football, you know, there's definitely a cost to it. And for some schools that don't have it, there's a couple schools in the state that don't have football, and it would definitely be a cost, and it's going to be several thousands of dollars. And for us to diminish soccer, we just don't have enough kids at our school to have both soccer and football like other schools, you know, might have two fall sports for the guys. But, you know, the school, talking to the school board, and they were very open-minded about things. But when we did our diligence and when we contacted other schools to find out exactly who was going to cross over to football or six-man football and how many schools there would be, you know, come September, October, we just didn't feel that there was going to be enough schools to do that. So, you know, our board tabled it, and we'll have to see what happens down the road.
But obviously, at least from your boys student population, there was interest.
Yeah, there was interest. You know, we took a survey last April, and there definitely was an interest in it. We took the survey all the way down to the first grade, and you know, we could see that there was a definite interest in bringing in six-man football or, you know, football to our school, but everything now, it you know, it's a moot point.
You know, bottom line is, it's just tabled, and well, it's tabled for everybody, including the state, for the next 2 years, and kind of a holding pattern. We'll see what happens, but as you said, we're very happy to continue to sponsor boys soccer in the fall.
Yeah, we were, you know, even not knowing exactly what would happen for sure, you know, back in by the end of September, I've already got my soccer schedule and officials, or I guess not officials, but my soccer schedule already completed for the following year. And so, you know, I did my job just like I would normally do no matter what. So, you know, we're status quo, and we're going to keep on going, and we'll keep promoting boys soccer just like we always have.
Well, just to wrap it up here, as we mentioned before, getting back to basketball, highlight of a season for all the schools involved in the 281 is this annual tournament starting today for the boys. The girls got underway yesterday, and well, it's just a week. I know everybody looks forward to.
Yeah, we do, and it's kind of a marathon week.
Tell
for
me
you as
about
well.
It.
Yeah, well, good luck for you as well.
Watson has the biggest part of it this year. He's got 16 games. I only have 8.
Well, that's not bad either. Hopefully your voice holds up.
Darwin Ofer, head coach of James Valley Christian School. More coming up here, Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.
Monty James for the Territory.